Recording on this computer. I'm going to say hi to Kim and to Joe, who's new. Kim's not new. Sean is definitely not new. Peggy is driving, but hopefully
she's listening via driving.
Hopefully she's safe. Mm-hmm. Judy's brand new. Hello, Judy. And is that who's Hello. Back there? Is there a dog back there? Or is that a
yeah? Puppy? Yeah, we got a puppy.
Oh hey, my puppy. Gosh! What is your puppy's name?
Bella.
Oh, my dad has a dog named Bella. That's crazy. All right, I'm going to mute you. Hi, Jennifer Williams, and hi, Sarah, and hi, Mimi. It's so good to see such amazing people.
Happy New Year.
So we have a few newbies. So the way this works is it's very casual. It's very informal. And
as you can see by Todd wearing the rainbow sweatshirt once again.
I love this rainbow sweatshirt.
And, you know, I walked in and said, Todd, you're wearing that sweatshirt again. And then I realized I haven't showered since yoga this morning either.
Yeah, so that's disgusting.
I couldn't really comment. And I'm comfortable. Are you comfortable?
I'm wearing my sweatshirt. Of course I'm comfortable.
This is Todd's favorite sweatshirt.
So for those of you guys who are new, it's very casual. It's very fluid. You all have the opportunity to ask Kathy and I questions, to ask for support, to jump in and lend support to somebody who else has a question. So the way that you indicate that to us is either by literally, Millie.
Millie.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Millie. I see.
Right. There's Millie.
Hi,
right
Millie.
There. And we got her wonderful Christmas card and we saw her wonderful family.
Yes, that was fun.
Yes, that was fun. So if you want to get our attention, you could either write in the chat box saying, Todd, I have a question. Or you can raise your hand physically, and I'll see that. Or if you like hover yes. over your image there, there are three little lines in the upper right-hand corner that says raise hand or something like that. So and there's a few other people. Who else? Sarah's new.
Liz is on too. She's not new.
And Liz, on. Right, like new to this call.
Ah, got it.
So anyways, so if anybody had, we didn't get any sent questions, which we usually do. I have some older ones, but
I have something we can talk
and
about.
Kathy has something. Whenever I ask Kathy if she has anything to share, either on the podcast or on the Zen Talk, she has never said no. Whereas I just have nothing. Empty. Nothing. Open. Whereas Sweetie's always got something. She's got something going in that noggin of hers. So does anybody want to start out? Does anybody want to say anything? Does anybody want to share anything?
Ask a question.
Ask a question, whatever. Oh, Sarah just raised her hand. I'm so glad. Sarah, are you there?
I'm here. Yep.
Hi. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Can you see me? Sorry.
Yes. All okay. good.
I have a question. I must have just listened to one of your podcasts. And Kathy said something about women asking permission. And then it was also tied to emotional labor, and I can't remember the context. But my question...
Sarah, you may have just muted yourself.
Or... No, it stopped. It froze.
Oh, she froze on us.
She has a good question.
I know. It's an important question, too. So while Sarah is getting her her computer reset, oh, Nikki just showed up, too. Does anybody else want to jump in, and then we'll go back to Sarah when she comes back? And as you guys are thinking about it, tell me if anybody raises their hand, sweetie. I got this email from the Good Newsletter. I've talked about this on the podcast, and I just want to read a few items of good news. Muslim youth group cleans up national parks amid the government shutdown. There's an app that helps you recognize where you think illogically.
That's weird to me.
Let's check it out.
Okay.
Even during a year of division and fear of the future in many corners of America, the New York Times found people trying to make things better and succeeding.
Yeah, I agree.
Sex trafficking victim Cyntoia
Brown, yeah.
Brown granted clemency. I don't know the deal with that.
Yeah, well, she was sex trafficked, mm-hmm. and she ended up, someone was killed. She killed someone because he was holding her hostage, and she was given like a life sentence for that, and she was a kid. So now she's done all these things, put her life back together. She's gone to school. She's helping people who are younger than her, who are in sex trafficking, helping them, and now she's been granted clemency.
In the words of Bryan Stevenson, we are not, what does he say? We are not our worst acts.
And not only that, she was
kidnapped. Yeah, she was kidnapped.
And she was a kid.
Yeah, and I don't know the details. We don't have to go very far.
Yeah.
Sarah's back.
Oh, good. Sarah's back.
Guess who's back? Sarah. Back again.
Okay, just let her talk.
Yes. I was going to sing Eminem.
I know. Okay, go ahead, Sarah.
All right, Sarah.
Okay, so my question is, so my husband and I, with three kids, 1, 3, and 5, I'm home with the kids. He works out of the home. We often ask each other, hey, can I go do this with the girls tonight? Or, hey, can I go do this with, and it, or the permission asking, or like when I text my friends, they'll be like, oh, let me ask my husband quick. And it does, it never really sat well with me. Like, it feels like I'm a child. Sorry, my three.
Oh, no, we like kids too.
Yeah, we like
kids. it never sits well with me, but at the same point, I understand kind of the stage we're in with the kiddos that we need to we're just in the thick of it, right? So we don't get free time.
Mommy.
Just a second, sweetie. You've got some food on the table.
Hi, buddy.
Who is that young man?
This is Lincoln.
Hi, Lincoln. How are you, buddy? So Sarah, I'm going to mute you and summarize your question and tell me if I get it wrong. All right, so you've been listening to podcasts. We've done a few on emotional labor. It was specific about asking permission. And the one side is, I'm an adult. Why do I have to ask anybody permission for anything? And the other part is, I'm part of a family unit. And sometimes you have to, like, kind of figure out if you're available to do something, like the practicality of it. So I'm going to let you start.
Oh, okay. So, Sarah, this is what I would say. Even in the way you asked the question where you said, you know, saying the words, it didn't really sit well with me, but it totally makes sense. And I'm right there with you. I think that when we are parenting together, like when we're co-parenting, we have to be thoughtful and respectful of each other and our time, and when we're, you know, being thoughtful about when we're going to be gone, or, you know, making sure that our schedule is combined. For example, I don't know, it's probably been 10 years, but Todd and I finally, for about 10 years, we've had this Google Calendar. So all of our stuff is on one calendar. So we can look ahead before we make big plans. Then we always ask each other. I don't think there's much to change in what you're doing, as long as there's reciprocity, meaning you're saying, will this work for us? And your husband is saying back to you, will this work for us, when he has a question? And that's just, that back and forth is healthy and balanced and necessary and respectful. I think when it gets out of balance is when I have found, working with women, that they have a situation where their husband kind of has their own day, you know, they work all day, they go work out, maybe they have something at night, and there's just a lot of, his life continues on. And then my client's life is, there's no question asking, there's no room, there's no freedom, there's no movement. And then they feel like they have to ask permission to take some time off, or that taking time off is, like you said, it feels parental, like they're asking for, when it really is, it's more than just language. It is that one person carries on as if their life is completely their choice and their own, and the other person meets all the demands of the child, or children. And sometimes for me, because I'm a word person, I'm very thoughtful about not saying things like, I don't know, I don't even know if I ever used to say it, but, you know, like, oh, can I do this? I that doesn't come out of me very easily.
It's weird. I feel like a lot of it is it's not in the what you're asking, it's how you're asking. Because it's not like, hey, can I go play golf with my buddies? It's more like,
is this weekend open?
Is this weekend open? Mm-hmm. And like, well, what's the difference between the first way I asked it and the second way I asked it? There, even, you know, as a guy, and I'm sure it doesn't matter, this isn't a man-woman thing. As an adult, it's weird to say, can I go do something? Because mm-hmm. we're adults. But I think it's not the what, it's the how.
And I'll give you two examples that just happened yesterday, Sarah, between Todd and I. So there was one thing I said to Todd. I said,
the looks like the first weekend of February is pretty open. I'm thinking of going to my aunt's house that weekend because I like to go by myself. My aunt's on this call somewhere. I like to go to my aunt's house by myself for a weekend. No kids, no friends, nothing. And I said, is that weekend open? He said, yeah, do it. Go for it. About 2 hours later, I said, you know what? I think I'm going to go see my mom on Sunday. It looks like we have something with your cousins. Is that really that important, or can I see my mom instead? And he said, actually, that is kind of important. I was kind of hoping we'd all go together. So I was like, fine, that's totally fine. So my point in giving that example from yesterday is it's not so much, you know, sometimes it works out fine and sometimes it doesn't. And that's just being in a healthy partnership.
Well,
you know?
and a lot of this is balance, because it sounds like you're in a similar situation that Kathy and I were. And I will own the fact that by our roles in the household, I have more undeserved freedom. I don't know if that's the best way of saying it. And if I'm always, you know, like, oh, I work till 5, but oh, I got to work late and I got to work till 8 or whatever. I'm not asking for permission, or I'm not checking in with a lot of things. That's not right. So whether this is a man thing or a woman thing, if there's an imbalance, and I can say in Kathy's and my marriage, there used to be a tremendous imbalance, and we've come a little bit closer.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we've grown together. But even at this moment, I still have more freedom. One is because that's how we decided. Two is because I'm complacent and lazy and I do things I want, whereas you sometimes are thinking about everybody else.
Well, you're putting yourself down. I'm trying to
balance it out, because sometimes I am more. You gotta agree with me on this. There's times I'm like, oh, I'm doing this.
Well, here's what Todd doesn't feel that I feel. So, and I'm sure a lot of the mothers and maybe some of the fathers who are on this call can relate to what I'm feeling. I am very thoughtful about when I'm going to be gone, how much time I'm going to be gone, and how that affects the entire family unit. Okay. So like, if I'm going to be gone at dinner and I'm going to leave at 4, go see my girlfriends, be in Chicago and not get home until 10, I very rarely have plans the next morning. I wouldn't do that because I've already been gone for 3 or 4 hours. So the next morning I'm on. What Todd sometimes doesn't understand is he'll put things back to back to back to back. He'll be gone for 4 days. Then he'll be like, but wait, I have a tribe meeting. Oh, wait, I'm meeting Sean for breakfast. Oh, wait. And I'm like, wait a second. Like, he's not considering it has to ebb and flow. It can't be like back to back to back to back, or else then I'm constantly on. So he'll say, but I thought tribe meetings were fine. I'm like, they are if they're not coming.
Well, what you've said to me is like, you know, because I don't do a lot of what quote unquote negative stuff. I'm not going to the bar. I'm not like spending hours upon hours. Usually the time that I leave the house, it's for coaching or my real job or my men's work or something like that. And Kathy always says, every single one of these things
is
by itself is fine and important, but what you're missing, Todd, is that it's coming back to back to back to back, and it's throwing me for a loop. So, and then I'm going to go to you, Sarah, to hear what your response is, because it looks like, oh, here she comes back.
Okay.
Lincoln is making things challenging for her. I could see her coming in and out of the screen. But if there's an imbalance in your household, I think you need to have a discussion. It's not an easy discussion to have, but if you feel like there's an imbalance, then you need to work it through, because this is one of those things that can get away from you very quickly. Mm-hmm. All right. I've just unmuted you, Sarah, and I know you're busy with Lincoln, but what do you think?
Yeah. I think it's just challenging for both Adam and I, because we both feel kind of depleted.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we feel resentful, but well, maybe we do a little bit, like anytime it's anytime I'm doing a lot, Adam probably feels a bit like he's happy for me, but he's also like, oh, this is so much work.
Yes.
And also it's hard too, because I'm home with the kids all day. So like I need to be away from them in the evening for a little bit. Cause that's just me. And I'm sure but he's been working all day too. So it's, I don't know.
It's all really, you. You've yeah. both been working all day.
Yeah. And we always say to each other, why doesn't anyone come help us? Like we ask our parents, and it's just, we had no idea what we were getting into, having three kids close.
Can anybody else relate to Sarah right now?
Well, and let me say to you, Sarah, that there is, I say this a lot, and I don't mean to like push it off as just it, with a simple statement, mm-hmm. but there is a reality about having, first of all, like you said, three, which we do too, and having them be at a certain age that is just really depleting. And yeah. I think a lot of times what we do is we'll say, I must be doing this wrong, or it shouldn't be this hard, or if I was doing this right, we would have something better, or I wouldn't be so tired. And part of me, because I'm in a different stage of parenting right now, I can say to you, it just is challenging. And that doesn't mean that we don't keep looking for solutions or keep asking for help or taking breaks. But I think the worst thing we can do to ourselves as moms and dads is to be like, I must be doing this wrong if it's hard. Some things are just hard.
Well, and plus the fact she's got a one-year-old, a three-year-old, right. and a five-year-old. That right. is a really that's, hard time.
That's what I mean. That's exactly what I had. That's exactly the breakdown that I had, 5, 3, and 1. And they all needed me all the time. Mm-hmm. And when I say needed, I mean get me a glass, put on my sock, open the door. I mean, they're put on my seatbelt. Like, you literally couldn't turn off. And that's exhausting. And it's not normal human behavior, meaning we're not always so. So it is always hard. And it is easy in a partnership to, when we feel depleted, to be annoyed at the person we're next to.
Well, there was that, there's that comedian who gave the joke, like, his favorite moment was when
Jim Gaffigan.
It wasn't Gaffigan. Oh, no. It was another
it was
one.
CK.
Yeah. He would close the car door, and then to walk around the back of the car to get in, it was his 2 seconds
of freedom.
Being free and alone and not being needed. So, Sarah, I'm going to mute you real quick. I'm going to go to Joe real quick. Joe, did you want to? What I didn't quite understand your comment. Would you mind sharing?
I noticed in my lately in my partnership that. My co-parent has, rather than try to work on and ask and find that balance, seems like she's really just turned to telling me what she's doing and kind of expecting me to manage it without asking. And I was, I'm just a little background. We are separated right now, but I've found, looking back, a lot of these issues were going on around emotional labor. Like not being aware of what was going on with all that, especially with having two little kids, raising them, her going to school. I feel like I missed a lot back then, and I'm learning about all that now and really starting to see that. And I'm wondering if maybe, some of the issues we're having right now with things feeling at a different kind of balance might have to do with me missing that stuff back in the relationship when it was really important to catch it. And ask for help and deal with it then and try to create that balance back when the kids were littler. So I was just curious if you had any thoughts on that or experience with your professional experience.
All right, I'm going to mute you just because the sound comes out better when we mute people.
You know, Joe, I think just you being aware of that, and I think if I'm hearing you right, basically what you're saying is you're now understanding maybe what she your partner was trying to say. Back when, and that things were being missed and you're just realizing how much emotional labor was being done, what was being done. And at the very beginning of what you said, sometimes it was just hearing about the day, just being able to be attentive to everything your partner had done that day. And that sometimes we miss that and just you acknowledging that and knowing that. And again, I don't know where you are in your separation. If it's something you're still working on, if the two of you have decided you're not going to continue to live together, but if you're still working on it, and even if you're not going to live together, just that acknowledgement of, I see now, and I want you to know that I understand better than I ever did. Because regardless of if you partner with this person, continuing or for life, you will be co-parenting with this mm-hmm. person. And so to let them know that you feel and understand and that, the thing is a lot of times, even some of the words you used about, we missed it or I missed it or I wasn't there for it. There's some truth to that where we can look back and say, wow, I missed that or I didn't do that well. But, the opportunity, even when our kids are teenagers, we still have opportunities to show up. Mm. So you don't want to spend too much of your energy on, but I missed that, because you can do right now. Like I talk to parents of teens all the time and they'll be like, oh, now I understand this conscious parenting thing, or I understand relationship and I've messed it up. And I'm like, you can do it right now.
Well, and maybe you did mess it up, but you now have an awareness, and you know, to go back in time and dwell on anything is really just.
The dwelling initially is important,
right?
Because that's a reckoning.
It's a vehicle of learning.
Mm-hmm. And then it is, okay, now what am I going to take with that reckoning?
Yeah, like what are you going to learn?
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, Joe, before we move on to Kristen?
No, I really appreciate that feedback.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
My feedback would probably be, you know, to people that are dealing with stuff like that or becoming aware of it, you know, just do it while you can. Do it right away. You know, address it and ask for help, because it is so important and it does come up later.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Love it. Thank you, Joe. All right. Kristen from Colorado, I think, right?
Hi, yeah.
Hi, Kristen.
Yeah, it's a little faint, so.
I'm going to turn you up on our computer.
Is that better?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So I don't know if this is a question per se, but I just like to hear some thoughts. So for the past 2 years, I've wanted to go to the Women's March, but I haven't gone because I always had to work. So this year I was like, all right, I'm going to take off work and I'm going to go. And that was my plan. And then I was talking with one of my coworkers, and she just said something that just made me think. And she said, yeah, but you know, what is the Women's March for? What are you fighting for? Like, I've never gone to a protest or anything like that, or a rally. So, you know, I was thinking about bringing my girls. I have three girls. And I don't know. I want it to be a positive experience, and I want it to be, an experience where it's not just complaining. It's like, we're like, you know, what do I want to get out of it? I want to get the feeling of hope, of change, of unity. And so since I haven't gone and you guys have, I don't know if you can just speak to that a little
bit. Sure. Yeah, we'd love to. I'm going to talk first and then I'm going to let Sweetie, cause I got a feeling you got plenty of thoughts.
Sure.
Why are you doing this? Kathy and I had I don't know who we were interviewing on the podcast, but they helped us with, and I don't know if this is where you're going, Kristen, but fighting back versus standing up, and standing up gave
it was Anne-Marie.
Oh, Anne-Marie. That's right. It has a different feel, like, cause, you know, I think a Mother Teresa line was, I'm not going to go to your anti-war march, but the minute you have a pro peace march, I'm in. And like, well, what's the difference? Well, it's never about the what, it's about the how. It's kind of like what we talked about on the first question. So why are you going? Cause you are being an advocate in a way that you never have been. And you want to be a part of a change. And I mean, I can't tell you why you're going, but sometimes just the energy of standing up versus fighting back makes it feel a little bit easier. So
yeah. Anyways. And you know what the thing is I think that a lot of people, and again, I don't know how that question was handed to you, as if it, if
was it
someone,
judgmental?
Yeah.
Or?
Was the question being asked like, why are you bothering or what's your, no, it wasn't. Okay. That's good. Because I've gotten plenty of people, especially after I went to the first women's march, who I got emails from people saying, what are you doing? Why would you do this? And here's the thing. First of all, I felt compelled to, mm-hmm. like,
I couldn't not.
I felt like the first women's march, I hadn't been to any protests yet either. Now I've been to like, I don't know, 8, something like that. And I go to be part of solidarity. I go to demonstrate that I care about the things I care about. There are a lot of people that at protests, especially at the Women's March, who have signs or costumes or things that I wouldn't do personally. But having them there and having me there doesn't mean I agree 100% with, you know, profanity or saying you're going to hurt someone or calling all, you know, one political party all bad. I don't agree with that. But I think that that's, you know, even saying that, that's few and far between. Like, my experience at the protests that I have gone to is our families, people that care, people that say, I was actually just listening to a great interview with Emilio Estevez, and he was talking about his dad, Martin Sheen. And Martin Sheen has been arrested 128 times.
That's crazy.
For protesting. And, you know, he was being interviewed by, who was I listening? Was it Alec Baldwin? And Alec Baldwin said, gosh, that sounds like it was like a kind of a badge of pride in your household, in the, you know, Esteva Sheen household. And he said, what my dad would always say to me is, sometimes you know that you may not be able to create the change, but you are not willing to not at least stand up and say, I'm not okay with this. Like, it's not about going there, because that's what a lot of people say to me. You're not going to do anything. You're not going to change anything. But see,
yes, you are.
I am in myself.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm going to feel like I spoke up. Like, one thing that has been important to me for the last couple of years, which I'm sure you guys know on the show, is I don't need to say anything negative about anybody or throw any groups under the bus or declare, you know, I'm only this and that, but I can't anymore pretend.
Yeah, we used to be a little bit more neutral or vanilla on.
I just didn't feel like getting political, but what I realized was everything's political, you know, and that everything from the food we eat to, you know, to the choices we make in our homes, to the people we vote for, and that we can no longer just say to people, just make me feel comfortable, make me feel good. And I know that not everybody has loved that, but that's, it's not about everybody else.
About, like, authenticity.
It's about you. How do, why are you, and it's not, you could just say, I'm going to learn.
Yeah.
I don't really know yet, but I want to put myself with people that seem to have similar thoughts that I do, and see what they have to say. All of the rallies that I've gone to, I've tried to be really close to the stage, because I like to listen to what the people have to say. And the vast majority of them, I agree with. There's been a few that I've been like, whoa, you know, like, but that's not the entire party, or that's not the entire protest. That's, you know, there's pieces that, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to be a part.
Sweetie, you want to know what Millie thinks?
What?
She thinks Kristen's getting this feeling. It's significant in and of itself. Her wanting to participate in a march is a statement in itself. Perhaps she is just curious, and that's enough of a reason to go. Kristen's wish for change and for hope is the reason to
go. That's it. That's it. Yeah, you don't have to go into this thinking, here's my political talking points.
Yeah.
Or here it is, I am inspired. And also, I bring my girls too, or I have to about three of them. And I just want them to see what's happening in the world.
And I would say, Kristen, invite your husband. And maybe you've already done that. Hold on, I'm going to let her, I'm going to mute her. Have you invited him?
And he's wanting to go.
Good.
Oh, good. Because it's important. You have three. What are the sexes of your kids?
All girls. Okay. They are 8, so 6, and 3.
These three girls need to know that they have a daddy who believes in this stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And what? One more thing, just FYI, there are, look up on the website whatever march you're going to and see there's family entrances. So instead of having to go in where the big crowds are, which can often be a little more crazy, go to the family entrance and you'll find a lot of families and you'll feel really good in that area.
Okay.
Anything else, Kristen, before we go to Jennifer Williams?
No, I think that helped me out a lot. I thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Oh, no problem.
And
thank you.
Too. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Millie. All right. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You sound great.
Okay. Excellent. Thanks. I had a question. I have 10-year-old boy-girl twins, and I'm finding it hard right now kind of helping them navigate friendships. When they were younger, it was a little bit easier setting up the play date so we could control it a little more. But in particular, my daughter really wants to be friends with this girl, and I don't get a great feeling about her. I feel like when she goes over to her house, they're just kind of left unsupervised, often with devices, which kind of goes against how we feel. And our daughter kind of comes back to us with not an attitude, but she's kind of just started picking up this other girl's behavior. But I struggle with how involved I get in helping them manage these friendships and how much I kind of leave it up to them, knowing it could end not so well.
That's a wonderful question. And before we give you our two cents, I mean, you outlined the two extremes, either just laissez-faire, let this friendship unfold the way it is without any intervention at all, or be a little bit more
overly intervening,
controlling. What do you think, Jennifer?
I've kind of been, she's been friends with this girl for about a year and a half. And we've kind of tried everything, but we're still back where we started. Like, I don't feel like we're just kind of floating along. And it, sometimes I'm like, you know, just learn, just go. But then her feelings get hurt. Mm-hmm. And so she comes home and she kind of has a meltdown and I don't want to be friends with her anymore. Mm-hmm. So we try to support her in that. But then the next weekend she's like, can I sleep over at her house? Mm-hmm. So
wow, that's great.
I'm really torn. And then as well, just a side note, I think one-on-one, this girl is pretty nice to my daughter, mm-hmm. but in a group, she'll often just kind of ignore her or not include her. So it's, I don't really know what to do with this.
Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to mute you. So one, this is an awesome question that I think we can all relate to even in our old childhood or watching our kids grow up. My answer is going to be short and sweet. I would err on the side of letting your 10-year-old daughter figure out whether or not this is a girl that she wants to hang around with. And I know it's been going on about 18 months, but continue to love her and support her, but let her do it. If at any point you think it goes too far and whatever, I know like screen time, like even screen time, I hope that my kids go screw off and do different things and spend more time on their screens when they're with their friends than they do under our roof. So
you hope that?
Well, not that I hope, but like they're trying things out mm-hmm. and you're not signing off on it because it's not under your quote unquote house or roof or rules. So I would err on the side of allowing versus controlling. And it sounds like that's what you're doing anyways.
Well, and I would add to what Todd's saying, because even though I agree with him philosophically, I think if he was to really consider the issues with our girls, that's not everything that we did. Mm-hmm. I think the language I would use is partner with her. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm going to use that language, because Todd's like, you know, oh, just hands off. No, because when she's coming home and saying, you know, she made fun of me, or I had a hard day, or I don't know if I should be friends with her anymore. It never, you know, and obviously my daughters have done that before too. Never have I said, yes, don't be friends with her. Good, you know. But I will ask her questions and say, what will that mean for you? What will that look like? How can I help you in that? You know, what you're wanting today, how can I help you in that? And a lot of times there's like a big plan, like, you know, for example, you know, well, she's having a birthday party, but I only want to go for a few hours and I don't want to spend the night and I want to come home. Totally great. Like so I'm siding with Todd in that, or I'm agreeing with Todd in that she sets the parameters and I support her in those parameters. And then the next day, like it's kind of a long story, but similar to your situation, then a week later, she's like, but now I want her to come over and I really want to spend time with her again. That is so developmentally appropriate, meaning that's so normal. A lot of times we look at children through our adult lens and we say, if they didn't treat you well, they should be out on the street. You know, we get really like, and that's not how kids deal with things. They're literally figuring out how to be in relationship. And so sometimes they're like, okay, this has been altered. So now I'm going to try this relationship again and see how it feels. Or this time it's going to be three of us instead of two of us. So I'm going to see how this feels. The key to all that is again, partnering with her. So she knows that when she comes home and tells you something, you're open. Because if she has come home and said, this girl was mean to me, I don't want to be friends with her, and you heard that, and then the next day she's like, you know, she was really nice to me, and you're like, well, wait, I thought she was mean to you. You're shutting down communication where she can't navigate this because you are her partner. And again, you're side by side with her instead of in front of her. You know, you're like, oh, that sounds tougher. When she comes home and the girl did hurt her feelings, to say, man, I know how that feels. And you know, I've had friends who have done that to me too. How can I help you? Or do you just want to sit here? And, you know, like you are not, she doesn't have to answer. How do I want to say this the right way? She doesn't have to prove to you that she's doing her best. I think a lot of times our kids are just as worried about how we feel about it. And they're trying to navigate. Now, if your child was five, I'd be saying this is a totally different thing where you're the one managing the play dates or whatever. And you may say, hey, we're not going over there anymore. But a 10-year-old, she's with her at school during the day, right, Jen? Like she's seeing her. So she's got a lot of navigating she needs to do. And what she needs is someone she can go to. Now, at the same time, and Todd and I have said this many times, if there are girls that our girls spend time with that it's just not that healthy, we don't make it super convenient you know, we don't suggest play dates. If they are like, oh, can I spend the night Saturday? We might have family plans. We don't say no, or you can't be friends with this person, but there's other girls that my girls spend time with that are such lovely, they have such lovely relationships with them that we will kind of bend over backwards.
Yeah, we'll make it a little bit easier to
see certain people.
See certain people.
Or we'll say they can come over even if we have family plans, or you can go there for a few hours. With relationships that are kind of like, we call them, well, I call them in my mind, growth relationships, because that's what your daughter's having with her. It'll be one of her greatest teachers ever. She'll be 15, and you guys will be talking about this time and about how much she grew. The growth relationships, she's got to do so much of the work at school already with her that, you know, you don't need to bend over backwards for this girl, and I don't think you are. But I also agree with Todd that you don't need to worry so much about the screen time and that kind of thing, as long as there's nothing.
And the attitude stuff is tough too, because I don't know, I get triggered quite easily with attitude stuff.
But I point it out, like, it, yeah. And not in a, I'm calling you out, you're in trouble, but like, what you just said sounds like, I'm going to make up a name. What you just said sounds like Tina. You know what I mean? Is that mm-hmm. something Tina says to mm-hmm. you? And I laugh about it. I don't scold yeah. her, but I point out the way you're interacting with me sounds like the way Tina talks to you. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to pretend that's not happening.
Well, and two other things, and we talked about this maybe on the podcast or on one of these end talks. To Kathy's point, we want to partner with our kids. How do we do that? One of the ways we do that is, it's your 10-year-old. Does she have a phone or not, Jennifer? No phone yet. When she is old enough to have a phone, we have certain codes on via text. So if they say a bunny, if they, you know, put a bunny on, that means I need to get out of here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these friends, they check each other's phones.
Well, we've had to come up with new emojis, each of my girls, because, you know, their friends now know
yeah.
that, you know, they can get out of stuff through us. So we have, but my point, Todd's point is, it's not so much about what emoji you use, but that's the partnering piece, is you're saying to your child, go, mm-hmm. and if it's not working out for you, I got your back.
Yeah.
That to me, and this is not just for you, Jennifer, but for everybody listening, what is the gift that we can give to our kids, especially in this time of pre-adolescence and teenagehood? I've got your back. That doesn't mean if you start talking bad to me, I'm going to let you, or that if you start vaping, I'm going to be fine with it. That's a totally different thing. What I'm talking about is, if they're struggling, I am someone you can come to, and I will listen. I will, you know, not say anything if it's just something, you know, if it's listening that you need. Or I will hug you. I will be here. And if you need to get out of a sleepover, I'll take the fall. I yeah. always say to my kids, tell them it's my fault.
Well, and yeah, always defer to a higher authority, which is the parents. And please throw us under the bus every chance you get
we
when it comes to stuff like this. And get creative. Like, you know, like, oh, I don't know if I want to go to her house. Why don't you go? And I'll pick you up in an hour. Sure. And if all of a sudden you're having a good time, I'll say, you know what? I have to go run some errands. I'll be back right. in an hour. Like, just get creative with how you support them. So I'm going to go back to you. Jennifer, any thoughts?
That's very helpful. And I like the partnering idea, because sometimes, like, inside, I'm sure she can feel it when she tells me what's happening. Like, my stomach goes in a knot when she just starts saying, oh, she didn't even wave to me today at recess or something. And I just, she can probably feel it even if I don't say anything. Mm. And I'm like, but I have started something that you guys recommended, and she'll often, like almost every day, she'll come home and say, like, it's always good or bad. It's like, it was great or it was horrible.
Right. And
so I will now say, well, like, do you need a hug? Do you want me to just listen? Or do you want me to advise you on something? And mm-hmm. so we have started that. Most of the time it's just a hug.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because I went from trying to fix all of her problems to just like giving her a hug, which is really helpful. And that's all she needed. Yeah. And I would spend like an hour trying to like come up with all of these ways. And I think one day she just was like, it's not your problem.
Like, they're so smart.
Yeah. I think we came up with, like, I think we gave them three different cards. One said hug, listen, advise. So give that, you know, if that works for you, give her that. And then the other part, and maybe you might have to help Jennifer with this, is that knot that happens in your stomach, like, that's your work.
That's your 10-year-old.
Like, that's all yeah. you. And I, Can you, how do we help her un?
So one of the things I do, when I say it's your 10-year-old, Jennifer, we all have that 10-year-old. We all have had that experience. So there's two things that that is happening. Number one, we can emotionally relate to what our child is telling us because we were 10 or 11 or 12 or 9, and we know that feeling. The second thing is this person feels like an extension of us. Like, not only is it, has it happened to me before, but I love this person more than anything, and I don't want them to get hurt. So it's a very like, the feeling we're having is all based in love. One of the things I try and remember, though, these are the, I kind of hold them out, is that if another child was telling me, and it wasn't my child, that someone wasn't nice to them, how would I react? And I have the luxury of being a therapist where I've talked to kids enough, so I know how I'd react. And so I kind of try and do that with my kid. For example, she gets in the car and she'll say, just like your child, you know, she wasn't nice to me today. She didn't even wave at me. And I'll be like, boo, like that's no good. And then we move on. Like, instead of, oh no, you know, I have the same feeling you do, Jen, and I don't want to pretend I don't, but I try, that's where I have to kind of remove, and I get a visual in my mind, like, yes, I'm my 10-year-old feels this, and yes, this is my kid, but I have to kind of separate. This is her life. And I can't make people be nice to her, but what I can do is remind her that that won't derail her life and that I am a stable figure in her life. If people being nice to her, not nice to her, that I remain the same. That's the side, to, you know, the partnering, that I don't get overly worried and that she doesn't have to worry about me worrying about her because they want us to be like,
Solid. Stability.
Because they need to come home to a rock.
And you're right. She can feel it when you feel the knot in your stomach. So your work first is to notice it.
But yes, but we're going to feel it no matter what. So we can't not feel the rock.
Right.
Or the feelings.
Well, you can't. Right. So step one is to notice it.
Yeah.
Step two is to not react from it. But I do think eventually, I think the idea is that we can untie those knots.
It a little bit. It loosen it. Like, because I'm on my third daughter, like I'm done with the other two. I'm on my third daughter who's going through this 10-year-old thing. And it's much easier, not easy, but easier because I kind of know when she comes home with this stuff, which she does, Todd and I kind of have a rhythm with it. We're like, ooh, that sucks. And then we if she wants to keep talking, she does, but then we move on because there's more to life than this girl. You know what I mean? We still got dinner and we don't say that to her. We don't say there's more to life than this girl. We demonstrate that we're not that worried about it, that we know she can do it, that we trust in her ability, and that if she needs more help, we're there.
And Kristen said, I heard someone talk about thinking about your kid as your best friend's kid. It gives you a different frame of reference. Yeah, that's an interesting kind of mind trick you can play to help you separate that what Kathy was talking about.
Well, you know, one of the women in my women's circle, one of my friends, she's a teacher, and she was pointing out to me that, so it's kind of a long story, but her son was struggling with certain issues. And one of her students came to her, same age as her son, and was telling her about the issues. And she sat down and she was so thoughtful and she listened. And she's like, you know what? You're such a smart kid. I know you'll work it out and I'm there for you. And then she realized she never does that for her own son. Mm. She doesn't sit and listen. She just gets anxious about it and worried, and she tries to correct him. And she realized, having that experience with her student, she was like, I'm going to do exactly that with my son now.
That's why our kids are wonderful teachers for us, because they can get us to get our stomach gets tied up in knots. Yeah. Whereas your friend's kid, it's separate. So you can either be frustrated because your kid triggers you, or you can be like, wow, this kid is my teacher who's teaching me how to release some of this baggage.
And they trigger us because we love them, not because they're triggering people, but because we feel they are such of our heart, you know, like people say, it's like our hearts are walking around in the world and, you know, we want to wrap them in bubble wrap. But.
All right. I'm going to go to Jennifer one more time before we go over to Joe. Jennifer, any closing thoughts?
No, that's really helpful. And I'll just work on that and let you know how it goes, but.
And bless yourself while you're doing that. Don't.
It's such a practice. Like, there are still days that I'm a little too worried, more worried than I should be. But I can always come back to humor, as I, you guys know, humor is so helpful to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, life, we make life so serious, and sometimes people are just mean people, and we just got to be like,
boo. All right. Joe, how you doing?
Hey, doing good. I had a question I've been thinking about lately. I have a 6-year-old son. He was really super sweet when he was little. And he's still very sweet, but lately he's been acting like overly silly, to the point of being really inappropriate, with his body and things like that. Mm-hmm. I could be more specific if that's helpful.
Sure, go ahead.
Like he'll pull his pants down, bend over, and like fart on me, and then laugh. It's really funny.
I love this kid.
No, that he's trying to say.
I know, but sweet farts are funny.
Yeah. And it'll be funny sometimes, right? But then I'm like, okay, now we got to get dressed, or now we got to do this, and he won't stop, and he'll push it further and further. And then it becomes a problem, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, be silly, but where's the point where we need to get, you know, on with the stuff we need to do? And then when I start addressing that and trying to be, I start with humor, because that usually works for him.
Yeah.
But it kind of tends, to me, it seems to just kind of exacerbate it, and I don't know if, I mean, sometimes his mom says, like, it's partially my problem because I do that. I don't know. That's a whole other world. But, you know, and then I try, okay, let's bring it back together. Let's you know, whatever it is, let's get, wash our hands as it goes to down and eat dinner, right? And then when I start being a little more serious with it and start being like, okay, well, it's really what we need to do, it often turns from silly to a meltdown. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to talk to you. I need some alone time. I'm going to run to my room and slam the door. And I'm not going to do the things that we need to do. Mm-hmm. So I've been really struggling with that lately, and I wonder if you'll have any advice or anyone else has any advice on how to help him navigate how to be silly and have fun, maybe like tone down the inappropriateness and then do what we need to do also. So awesome. Without feeling too upset about it or internalizing it. Or
all right.
Yep.
I think I'm going to shut up because I think farts are really funny, and I'm not trying to minimize your problem, Joe, but you know, farting is kind of a big issue in our house.
For you. Here's the thing. I know what you're saying. I think Todd does too. He's just being Todd. But what I would say is you said, is he about 8 now, Joe? How old is he?
6-year-old son.
Well, he's still 6?
Yeah.
Okay. So he is old enough that you can start to talk to it. And again, it's more around 8 or 9 that kids understand more abstract thinking, because developmentally, he's still very black and white. You either fart and it's funny or you don't, right? So that it will be a little more challenging, meaning when he's like 8 or 9, he'll start to his brain development expands. He can kind of see this is okay, this isn't. He's trying to figure out, there's so many things that I want to say. First of all, when it's funny, it's a connection with you. So he's like, farting's funny, it makes dad laugh, it's connection, which it would be for Todd too, right? He's like, that's connection. But then he doesn't know yet what the line is, which is completely developmentally appropriate. Most 6-year-olds don't. Many 15-year-olds don't. And he's
46-year-olds.
Yes. So he's learning the line. And you can start to use language like that with him because, and I'll give you an example in a second, is right now he thinks sometimes dad's okay with this, sometimes he's not, and he doesn't know when you're not. And he thinks either he's getting approval or disapproval, and that's why he has a meltdown, is he's thinking you're disapproving of me. And this is confusing because 10 minutes ago it was funny, and he's being very black and white. And you can start to use language with him. It's not going to work the first time, but you're going to say, I do think farts are funny, and I think you are funny, and I love that we can laugh about this or whatever it may be, but we also need to get to where we need to go, and we also, and or maybe it's other people are around, and let's be thoughtful about the other people. And so what you're saying is you're not saying farts are either funny or farts are bad. You're saying
you need to make up some rules.
Farts are funny. And then, but right now we need to move into a different space. And so when we get into this different space, farts aren't as funny because I'm in a hurry or we're in a hurry.
Or we're eating in the kitchen.
Or people are around. Yeah. So because if you can remember, and this may not be the language you use, Joe, you have to use your own personality with your son, But if you remember that what he, the reason he loves that moment with you is he feels he's connected with you. So if you can maintain that connection, but at the same time say, I know this is funny and we're having a good time, but we do need to move forward. You know, we do need to move forward. We'll do farts again tonight, promise. You know, and so you kind of, you don't, that, saying we'll do farts again tonight is kind of like keeping the connection. Like, this is still our joke. You know, I'm not moving away from our joke. But at the same time, we got to keep going, buddy. We got to keep going. And they need that from us. They need that kind of structure. Or right now there's five other people here, or, you know, so again, I'm doing a lot of talking, but he, if you can just remember, the reason he's having that meltdown is he feels that you guys just disconnected.
So, I'm going to go to Joe in a second.
Okay.
And I apologize for my inappropriateness around this topic, but hey, I'm human. I think, for Joe's son, he's probably a little confused because certain times, and you're, I'm summarizing what you just said. Mm-hmm. So have some rules around it. So I would say that. I'm going to go back to you, Joe, and see if any of that.
Yeah. I mean, that's very helpful. And I'm aware of doing those a lot of things, and I've been trying to incorporate that a lot more lately. And it's helpful to hear it. I just, you know, sometimes I'll do all that stuff and then, well, often I'll do all that stuff. And then there's still the meltdown, running to the room, slamming the door.
Right.
I want mom. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Mm-hmm. And we need to go to school, or it's time to go sit down and eat dinner. And mom gets really frustrated at me because she feels like I can't parent or I can't do it also. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if it's like, maybe that's normal stuff in this developmental period where he's learning that stuff and it's a process we need to get to, or maybe there's something else going on. I'm not sure.
Well, Joe, and again, I don't know how much he knows about your separation, but he's going to have an emotional reaction to that too. Like, it's not about feeling bad about that or feeling guilty, but having an understanding that he, when he says things like, I want mom right now, or I wish mom was here, or mom could do this, it's him grappling with going back and forth.
The new normal.
Yeah, the new normal. And that is normal. And that it's not about telling them why they shouldn't feel that way, but it's instead acknowledging and soothing him in the midst of change. And it isn't true. I would never say to you, you're doing it wrong. He's having a tantrum. Therefore, you must be doing something wrong. 5 and 6 year olds get mad and they want to keep farting and they want to keep doing what they're doing and they don't want someone to tell them to not do it. Like, that's a very normal experience. The key is, how do you maintain your cool in the midst of that? Meaning, and I also think what a lot of parents tend to do is they'll say, okay, now we're never going to fart anymore. We're going to be serious. We are, you know, you have demonstrated to me we can't do this at all anymore. And while I understand doing that occasionally, we kind of just wipe the connection away because we just want everything to be serious and let's get through the morning and we forget about the human component.
And then one last thing,
sure.
Reminds me of Rob Bell. He did this podcast. It wasn't a podcast, it was like an audio thing. And Rob was, he's one of our favorite teachers. He was at our conference a few years ago and he said something that I thought was interesting, which is the thing that's driving you the most nuts about your kids when they're young like this, the opposite is going to drive you equally as nuts when they're 18 years old. So in other words, let's say you have a shut down, overly serious 18-year-old kid. And when he was 6 years old,
he listened really, all the time.
He was really silly and everything else. So you know what I mean?
No, I don't.
You're saying that the exact same behavior that drives you nuts about your kid when they're six, you would long for the day that they, you know, like my kid's talking too much. My kid won't shut up. My kid just talks. And then they turn 16. You realize this kid doesn't say a freaking word
and
to you anymore.
Yeah. Understood.
So that's just kind of a perspective shift.
And then the last thing I would say, because I think that I just want to be an empathetic parent and person and friend to you, is that it is hard when our kids get mad at us and it is not comfortable and we do think we're doing something wrong and we do want to solve it quickly, and human emotions are tough. And if we can just remember that, you know, we can always try new things. Like, you may have gotten something from what we said, or you may try something new tomorrow morning. You've got to kind of play with it, but I'm telling you, there's not one answer.
No.
And so if you're thinking, like, if you're, you know, if your partner is saying to you, you're doing it wrong, you need to do this or that may work for her. And you may want to take some of that if it's helpful, but you also have to still be you. So you kind of have to figure out how to, it's practice.
So the last two things I want to close with, because we only have 5 minutes left. One is, I don't title our Zen Talks, so that the title of this Zen Talk is Zen Talk number 48. But for our podcast, we usually come up with a quote or whatever the topic is. Sweetie, if we were going to title this podcast, we would title it, We'll Do Farts Again Tonight. And that's what I think it should be.
We will.
Maybe we'll I'll say again. Zen Talk 48, We'll Do Farts Again Tonight. So the other thing is, Mimi asked me for an update on my friend Josh. For those of you guys who don't know, we interviewed Josh twice. We interviewed him one time before he got a kidney transplant and one time after he got a kidney transplant. I'm lucky enough to be friends with Josh. I'm so privileged to tell you all that both Sean and I were with Josh on Friday night. We had a Tribe men's group outing, and his kidney is functioning beautifully. He is as spirited as he's ever been. His health is wonderful, and his life is different. His life is better.
Does he look good? I haven't seen him.
Yeah, he looks great. His coloring is good. It's weird because sometimes when I would see him, he just looked bad, physically bad. And, you know, when you don't have functioning kidneys, that tends to happen. And what's interesting is when he did look bad, he's like, oh, well, you probably saw me on my third day. I'm like, well, what's your third day? He's like, that's the third day since he's gotten dialysis. And all these toxins that our kidneys flush out normally don't get flushed out unless you get dialysis. So anyways, yes, Josh is a beautiful human being, and I will even tell him when I see him again, which will probably be sometime soon, that Team Zen is rooting for him and thinking the best. So
I'll end by saying, first of all, thank you all for your questions. And I know that sometimes, I know because I get emails from people and even my own clients say this to me, I know Todd and I don't always have like simple answers for things like, you know, a child's having a tantrum or someone's being mean to my kid or, you know, I'm struggling with this or that with my partner. And we give these kind of long-winded, you know, like, think about this, think about this. It's because it's normal human behavior and we have to move with it, with what we have around us and our personal experience and our personality. And that my hope is always to have you look at things a little differently or maybe not be as hard on yourself, but to also recognize that the experiences that we're having, that our children are having, that we're having in our partnership, that's part of being a whole person. That it's not that we're doing it wrong or that our lives are, I mean, yes, we may say, yeah, but this child is difficult, this child is easy. But at the same time, that may be because the way we interact, we think this is easy, we think this is hard, but another parent would think the opposite. This is human relationships. So, you know, I'm always encouraging, and I know you guys already do this, but, you know, read different books, look, you know, what parents that you appreciate, notice what they're doing. You know, I'm always a big believer in relationship first. And so if it's someone telling you that you have to constantly count to three and then put them in timeout, I may recommend something else. But there are so many different, you know, think about their love language. Think about, what were some of the other things we were coming up with the other night? Things that we were going to do. Oh, maybe that was my conversation with Jess. But just try, every day is a practice in how we are in relationship with each other. And I just wrote something the other day that most of our joys, the vast majority of our joys, 95% of them come through relationship. A lot of our challenges do too. But if we can pay attention to relationship and try and become, you know, strengthened and emboldened by our, what we know about ourselves and then offer that to the people we love. And that's what life is, you know? So anyway, so, I just wanted to say that.
So I want to say thank you to all of you for taking the time out for joining us live. And if you're listening to this after the fact, thank you for being a Team Zen member. Special thanks to our questioners of this podcast, of this Zen Talk, was Sarah, Joe, Jennifer, and Kristen.
And those who came to just listen, we honor you just as much. There's no special points.
I started by saying thank you to everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, focus on the good, woman.
He just loves his extroversion.
Right. And then Judy says, thank you very much. I really enjoyed this talk.
It's, oh, good.
It's still weird. I listened to you for so long, and now I have to get used to seeing you.
Especially when we look so good like this.
And we look great.
You get used to like knowing us is what happens. And then you have to decide if you're going to stick around.
Yeah, that's not what I meant. I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
No, that's, I know what you meant.
We know, we're kidding.
And then Zen Talk 2 weeks from today. It's on a Tuesday because then I got to go, I'm leaving for work after that. So I think it's the 20, what's 8 plus 14? January 22nd, we will have our next Zen Talk. And the title of this will be Zen Talk 48, also known as We'll Do Farts Again Tonight.
And the conference is 2 months from this weekend, so many of you we're going to be seeing very soon.
Yeah, hopefully we can see you all. All right, guys, keep
cheers.
Rocking.
Happy 2019, everybody.
Adios, muchachos.
And muchachas.
No, muchachos means the collective,
oh,
sweetie.
Okay, but isn't isn't it like something new because so we don't have to always focus on masculine?
I don't know. I haven't been to Spanish class lately.
Why not?
I don't know.
We should keep doing that. Actually, I think that's a real thing. Like,